Anyone who would like to take a photo of me, please don't. If you want to do, you can do after the class. And I'd appreciate if you don't, especially don't put this light in the face. Same thing for cell phones. Please switch your cell phone off. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 24. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yasma adadu datir urdha bhayanga vepo. Margam sapadyari purang haravadid hakshoho. Dure suhrin matita rosha sushona drushtya. Tatapya mana makaro raga nakra chakra. Yasma adadu dadhir udha bhayanga vepo. Margam sapadyari purang haravadid hakshoho. Dure suhrin matita rosha sushona drushtya. Tatapya mana makaro raga nakra chakra. Translation of the verse. The personality of Godhead Ramachandra, being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy Ravana with red-hot eyes like those of Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics, like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry, red-hot eyes of the Lord. Purport. The personality of Godhead has every sentiment of a sentient being, like all other living beings, because he is the chief and original living entity, the supreme source of all other living beings. He is the Nitya, or the chief eternal, amongst all other eternals. He is the chief one, and all others are the dependent many. The many eternals are supported by the one eternal, and thus both the eternals are qualitatively one. Due to such oneness, both the eternals constitutionally have a complete range of sentiments. But the difference is that the sentiments of the chief eternal are different in quantity from the sentiments of the dependent eternals. When Ramachandra was angry and showed his red-hot eyes, the whole ocean became heated with that energy, so much so that the aquatics within the great ocean felt the heat, and the personified ocean trembled in fear and offered the Lord an easy path for reaching the enemy's city. The impersonalists will see havoc in this red-hot sentiment of the Lord because they want to see negation in perfection. Because the Lord is absolute, the impersonalists imagine that in the absolute, the sentiment of anger, which resembles mundane sentiments, must be conspicuous by absence. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they do not realize that the sentiment of the Absolute Person is transcendental to all mundane conceptions of quality and quantity. Had Lord Ramachandra's sentiment been of mundane origin, how could it disturb the whole ocean and its inhabitants? Can any mundane red-hot eye generate heat in the great ocean? These are factors to be distinguished in terms of the personal and impersonal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. As it is said in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. So the Absolute Person cannot be devoid of the sentiments that are reflected in the temporary mundane world. Rather, the different sentiments found in the Absolute, either in anger or in mercy, have the same qualitative influence, or in other words, there is no mundane difference of value because these sentiments are all on the Absolute plane. Such sentiments are definitely not absent in the Absolute, as the impersonalists think, making their mundane estimation of the transcendental world. In the description in this chapter of the scheduled incarnations, the incarnation, the avatar under discussion, is Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan. Most of the avatars, they are in this chapter discussed in a single verse. Ramachandra is discussed in several verses. Although all the forms of the personality of Godhead are the same Supreme Lord, but still some avatars are considered more important in the sense that they are particularly merciful. Lord Ramachandra delivered so many living beings, and their pastimes are well known in the world. So this especially refers to Ramachandra Bhagavan and to Krishna. Their pastimes are particularly discussed. And the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead forms the central subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Within the Srimad Bhagavatam, less well known, is also the science of Godhead is described. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, scientific knowledge of the Personality of Godhead. Most Bhagavatam commentators, there's still the culture of Bhagavatam commentary and speaking, that culture is still going on. Most of the speakers on Bhagavatam, they concentrate on describing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada, in his commentaries, he especially discusses the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the scientific understanding of the Personality of Godhead. His commentaries he calls purports. That's a term that means what is the meaning, what is the purport, what is the inner meaning. So it's not, it's differentiated in that way from a commentary, in as much as a commentary, it adds to the understanding, that's the idea, or it may be a personal vantage point, a personal perspective. But Srila Prabhupada gives purports, that means this is the meaning, this is what is to be understood here. Of course, every word of Bhagavatam is non-different from the whole Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, and every word is pregnant with so many meanings. Krishna tulla bhagavat bibhu sarvashray prati shloke prati akare nana artha koi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described in this way that Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna tula, which in this sense means is equal to Krishna, who is Krishna is all powerful and can give shelter to everyone. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in every verse and every syllable, there are various meanings. So the Bhagavatam is unlimited as Krishna is unlimited. That means we can't fully understand even one word of Bhagavatam or even one syllable, but still it is given for our understanding. We are very limited. We can only understand up to our capacity. Krishna is unlimited. He has unlimited capacity. Srila Prabhupada has given the purport. That means that is what to be, that what we need to understand. What the reader, the general reader, needs to understand. Krishna speaks to Srila Prabhupada and dictates to him what Krishna wants the people of the world in the present day to understand from these verses. Of course, it's not limited. It's not that there may not be other understandings discussed. And Srila Prabhupada, even before beginning his purports in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, has recommended that readers who are interested to go very deeply into the subject matter, they can also study the commentaries of previous acharyas. And he mentions specifically some names of the prominent Vaishnava acharyas who have commented on the Bhagavatam. The essence of all those acharyas' contributions is given in Srila Prabhupada's purports. So we also get the benefit of all the acharyas' commentaries by studying Srila Prabhupada's purports. Now, this particular verse describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, becoming very angry. Spiritual life means to become free from all that binds us in this material world. What binds us in this material world? Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. These are the six enemies. Material desire, or the word karma simply means desire. Anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. Specifically in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna mentions Trividham Narakasyedam Dwaram Nashanam Atmanaha Kama Krodhas Tata Lobhas Tasmat Etat Trayang Tyajet. Lord Krishna says that after giving the description of the demonic persons who are Kama Krodha Parayana, they are as if addicted to desire and anger. And Krishna says there are three gates to hell, which are karma, desire, krodha, anger, and lobha, greed. Therefore, these three should be given up. And here we have the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, becoming extremely angry. Why should someone become angry? Well, there may be various causes for that. He's angry because his wife has been kidnapped by Ravana and he wants to go and rescue her, and the ocean is not cooperating. So you may say, someone may say that, well, what is this? Ramchandra, he has karma, desire for his wife. He could have been happy. He could have said, oh, my wife got kidnapped. Now he can take sannyas. He might have thought, someone might have recommended that. Why are you so attached to your wife? What is this? Why are you getting so angry? Srila Prabhupada, he describes in the purport why we should not think like that in relationship to Ramachandra. If we hear of someone else whose wife is gone off with another man, we may think he may take sannyas, just like one of my godbrothers. He, in distress, came to Srila Prabhupada and said that, "Oh, my wife, she's gone off with one of my godbrothers." So Prabhupada said, "All right, then you take sannyas." And he gave him sannyas. He gave him sannyas. But the case of Ramachandra, Srila Prabhupada describes, is different. We should not think, as the impersonalists, that they want to see negation in perfection. They think the perfection means to simply make everything zero. Krishna says that these three gates to hell, lust or desire and anger and greed, they should be given up. But that's not the end of the Bhagavad Gita. There's more. Later on, Krishna says, Manmana, he already said it, but he says it again. Manmana bhava mad bhaktaha. Always think of me and become my devotee. Madhyaji maṁ namaskuru. Worship me, bow down to me. So we may think, oh, well, that's for someone on a lower level. Why should they worship anyone? You worship someone because you have some desire to fulfill. So that's on the platform of desire. That's not on the platform of liberation. There's dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So one may worship the various demigods. Kangshanta karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devataha yajanta. They worship. Why people worship the demigods? Because they have a desire. Kangsha, karma, very similar words. Kangshata karma, because they desire perfection in their work. They're on the path of karma. And they want perfection, therefore they worship the demigods. So people worship with some aim in mind. What will I get? I'm worshipping someone who is superior to me. What will I get in return? That is the idea. So if we think that what will we get from Krishna? Someone may think, well, you're worshipping, that means you have some desire. So that's also on that. They think this is on the material platform. But it's not. It's on a different platform, because Krishna himself is on a different platform to the demigods. Of course, Srila Prabhupada doesn't discuss in this purport demigod worship. But the whole Hindu, the general concept in Hinduism, is that you worship various gods to fulfill material desires. And when you get fed up with all of that, then you try for liberation. You try for liberation, and mostly you can worship also, but mostly they worship Shiva, those who desire liberation from this world, because they think that he's sitting in meditation. So he's a great yogi, and by worshipping him, he'll help us. But really it's by my own effort. They seem to have some mixed up ideas. But they think that Shiva is supreme because he's just detached from everything. He lives under a tree, maybe not even a tree, on the edge of a mountain, and his wife is the controller of the whole universal cosmos. Everyone prays to her, Dhanam Dehi, Rupavati Bharya Dehi, give me all material facilities, and Lord Shiva doesn't want anything from her whatsoever. So they worship him and they think he is the symbol of perfection, no desire. But they don't know that he's also worshipping Rama, particularly he worships Sankar. He's a worshipper of Lord Rama. People go to Varanasi for liberation, famous place, Varanasi, for liberation. The idea that Lord Shiva will give you liberation, but Lord Shiva can't give liberation. He doesn't have that power to do so. But then you go there for liberation, and he's the one who does it. Yeah, but not exactly, because how one gets liberated by dying in that Kashi Kshetra is that Lord Shiva, anyone dies there, Lord Shiva at the time of death comes and says in their ear, Rama, Rama, Rama. And then they get liberated by hearing the name of Lord Rama. But then, what is this? Then he also is materially attached. At this stage, he didn't hear the Yoga Vashishta. There's also some spurious, supposed to be Shastra, in which it's described how Lord Ram was instructed in spiritual knowledge and he became detached from this world, impersonal. But actually this anger of Lord Rama, that is worshipable, because he is the supreme sentient person. And sentient means that he has sentiments. This is a wrong idea of the impersonalist, as Srila Prabhupada describes here, to think that there is no sentiment in perfection, because sentiment here is used in the sense of feelings. Sometimes we say someone is sentimental. That means they're only on the platform of feelings. They don't have any good intelligence to discriminate. But sentiment, that word, it means feeling, affection, gives the idea of affection for others. And when Krishna says, Madhyaji, you worship me, that is, he's not saying to worship me for anything material, but Bhava Madhbhaktaha, become my devotee, means the devotees, they only want to serve Krishna, and they're in a relationship of love with Krishna. So the impersonalists, they can't see that. They think Rama is ultimately some principle. Rama, according to them, represents the truth which is beyond personality, beyond feeling. There's one well-known verse, or at least it was well-known when India was India, when India was Bharat, that's the official name, when people used to know some things from Shastra. I remember seeing in the Hindu newspaper, or maybe it was the Deccan Chronicle, maybe 30 years ago, mentioned in some article, Singhava Lokanyai. And the readers were expected to understand what it means. Who knows what Singhava Lokanyai means? Anyone? You know what it means? The lion looks back. The lion look. When he's walking forward through the jungle, he from time to time he looks back. So this is used as an example in various ways. For instance, one is going forward, but look back, even the lion looks back. There might be some danger behind, something he has to oversee. So that can be used in study of Shastra, that as some argument is being built up, argument here in the sense of a thesis, then we, while hearing as it's been, we have to remember the stuff that's behind also. Otherwise we get lost. That's why when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we come to the 10th canto and then Krishna's pastimes are described. We have to remember what comes before that also, because if we think Krishna's just some lusty boy playing with the gopis, then which is true in one sense, but not just. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, I was saying when that culture was still there, that cultured people, they had knowledge of Shastra, mostly by hearing. So this verse was quite well known, and it's also quoted in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is within the purport. Sramante yoginam nante satyananda chidatmani iti rama padenaso parang brahma vidhiyate. It's very easy to understand if you know any Indian language. Most Indian languages, not Urdu or maybe... but most Indian languages are directly derived from Sanskrit. They are Prakrit, not Sanskrit, but they're based on Sanskrit. Please turn off your cell phone if you haven't already done so. So it's easy to understand. Ramante, they take pleasure. Ramante yogino ananta. The yogis take pleasure, you can say, in ananta, or they have unlimited pleasure. Satyananda chidatmani. What is the nature of that pleasure? That is spiritual pleasure. Chidatma is concerned with the spiritual self. And it is satya ananda. It is not the false, illusory energy of this world. Iti rama pade naso. That is described, that what they take pleasure in, is Rama. Rama-pad, the position of Rama. And Param-Brahma-vidhiyate. It is known as Param-Brahma. So there you go. That describes the Supreme Absolute Truth is Rama. Right? Same Rama that we're discussing here. Ramachandra, the Personality of Godhead. This verse upholds that Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it not? Well, that's what you think. And it's true, because you've heard from Srila Prabhupada and his followers. But the impersonalists, they also like this verse. They think, oh, Param Brahma is Rama. So Rama means, Rama is the representation of Param Brahma. They take this to it, that it establishes that Rama, the person, is a representation of the ultimate reality, which is ultimately impersonal. They don't hear from the Vaishnava Acharyas. They're impersonalists. So then they describe, oh, that's Rama's leela that he gets angry. He's not really angry. It's just his leela, because he's playing like a human. But really, he's beyond all of that. This is... what? Is that good? That's, you see, don't see any... they'll say, don't see any fault in Rama. Getting angry, but it's just his leela. Inside, he's not angry. It's the biggest rascaldom to say such a thing. It's not. He is angry. He's very angry. And his anger is real. The only reason we can get angry is because he gets angry. And we are imitations of him. Man is made in the image of God. Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted from the Bible. Man is made in the image of God. It's actually round the other way. It is. It is round. I was going to quote something. I have to quote that first. That, as stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna jate kela sarvatam naralila narabapu tahara swarup. So they stated there that among all the pastimes of Krishna in this chapter, discussing various incarnations or avatars, the English word is not so accurate. Avatar. Anyway, we're speaking in English, so we use. And avatar is now an English word anyway, it's in the dictionary. So among all Krishna's various sports, sometimes Leela, Srila Prabhupada translates as sport. Krishna jate kela. You know the word kela, his games. Sarvotam nara Leela. His That means he has various forms. He has the Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha. These, well, the first three forms are non-human, and then the fourth one is half-human, Narahari. Actually, what does that mean? That means Narahari means human Hari, does it? Is it? Huh? Then where's the lion? Where's the lion? Nara here means lion. That's another meaning of the... So, can Nara means human and Nara means lion, both. So, Narahari. Keshava Dhrita Narahari Rupa. It's Keshava who's in the form of half man, half lion. So there are various forms. Those three and a half forms, non-human, they're very famous, and there are so many others also. But Krishna Jate Kela Sarvatam Naralila. His human, that's the best, that's the topmost. Anaravapu Tahar Swarup, his original form, Swayam Bhagavan, the original form of the personality of Godhead. There are others also. Swayam Prakash, Prabhav Prakash. There are various other forms. And then they expand also into different forms. But the human-like form is the best. I'm saying it's round the other way. We say human-like, but rather the human form is Krishna-like. Man is made in the image of God. So we don't say, it's more accurate. From our perspective, we see Krishna, he appears as a human. But really, we are getting, when we get the human form, it is an imitation of Krishna's form. So Krishna's anger is real. You better believe it, because we're all subject to it. We are subject to Krishna's anger. If we become inimical to Krishna, Krishna doesn't like that. And then we're punished. This Trivitam Narakasya Idam Dwaram Nashanam Atmanaha Kama Krodas Tata Lobhas Tasmat Etat Trayang Tiyajet. The three gates to hell, which should be given up, are lust, greed, and anger. Well, how do we get to hell? What happens? It's not just automatic. Krishna doesn't like it. He doesn't like that we have lust, greed, or anger, because that means that we'll mistreat others. Therefore, we'll go to hell. But Rama doesn't go to hell by becoming angry. Rather, by hearing about Rama's anger, we'll be delivered from hell, and we'll be delivered from mundane anger also. It's purifying to hear about Rama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we hear from impersonalists, then we'll go to hell, because that's where they're going. Because they don't recognize Rama as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we hear from impersonalists, they may speak the pastimes of Rama and say, oh, how wonderful, Rama is getting angry and everything, oh, wonderful. But they're all in the conception that it's Rama is some, his pastimes, it's some kind of fun or sport, but inside he has no feelings. Isn't that miserable? That means the Leela, actually, it's not really substantial at all. It's just some manifestation for people who are not on the platform of understanding that perfection is negative. So we hear this, and then we can ultimately give up all this Leela. Or ourselves, we understand we are God and we do our own Leela. That's another rascaldom that comes out of this. And it's not very funny at all, because the whole of Hinduism is going wrong, has been going wrong for generations on this misunderstanding. And although the Shastra is meant to elevate us, if we have this impersonal understanding, then we'll be degraded. And Hinduism, like everything else in Kali Yuga, just means degraded more and more and more. To the extent, and I often say this, and you may wonder why I say it again and again, Sai Baba, you come to the worship of Sai Baba, it's appalling, it's disgraceful, it's stupidity, but it's so widely spread because people are not getting Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, they're not getting proper knowledge. And practically speaking, if we want to get the real purport of Shastra, the real understanding by which we won't go to hell by hearing Shastra. How is that? You go to hell by hearing Shastra. Avaishnava mukhod girnam putam hari katamritam shravana naiva kartavya sarpochishta yathapaya. We are warned, don't hear Shastra. Don't hear the nectar of Krishna's Leela from impersonalists. It's very inauspicious. How can it be very inauspicious to hear Krishna's pastimes? Well, it's just like drinking milk is very nourishing, but if you take milk that's been drunk by a poisonous snake, and the remnants, if you drink that, you'll be poisoned. So by hearing Shastra from non-devotees, we go to hell. By hearing from Prabhupada, if we hear how Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aika Arna Kori Homane Asha, if we hear from Srila Prabhupada as a proper disciple, blank slate, we're ready to accept everything that he says. Sarva metad ritang manye yanmang vadasi keshava. Arjuna said to Krishna, I accept everything that you say. If we hear like that, then we'll be delivered from all the misconceptions, which people don't even know they're in misconceptions. They don't even know that. So Srila Prabhupada repeats these points. How many purports does Srila Prabhupada discuss about impersonalists? There's nothing directly about impersonalism in this verse. But Srila Prabhupada wants to clarify that even people may be praising Rama. Oh, he became angry and then the ocean gave him a path. They may be praising, but they don't know how to praise him. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the praise of the impersonalist to Krishna, that hurts him more than the arrows which are shot at him by his enemies. So Krishna also gets hurt. He's fighting. He comes to this world. One of the main things he does is fight. Yeah. The Ramayana, after all, it's all leading up to the fight. And then there's a long description of the fight. So he also gets wounded. He also gets Lakshman, the personality of Godhead, was also struck by the Brahmastra of that Indrajit. So he was struck, unconscious. It's Leela? Yeah, it's Leela. But he feels it. He feels the insults of the warriors on the other side. He feels for Sita. That's why he's going after her. But if we hear from impersonalists, even if you ask your average Hindu about this, they wouldn't be able to describe it or explain it. But it's all these misconceptions are deeply there. And where did they come from? Different speakers from TV representations of pastimes. Unless we hear from pure devotees, then we're going to misunderstand. Or even if we just hear the pastimes without any... The consciousness, just like the consciousness of the cook, goes into the cooking. That's why we should only take Krishna Prasada. And Krishna Prasada means that food which is cooked by devotees for the pleasure of Krishna, offered with love to Krishna. It's not that you go and buy some biscuits from the shop and offer it to Krishna, and that's prasadam. You can call it prasad, but it's like the impersonalist saying this is harikatha. It's their harikatha. It's just the opposite. It contaminates. It doesn't purify. So we have to be very careful in this regard. If we're not serious about Krishna consciousness, then we'll water it down. That is the tendency of every conditioned soul, is to avoid Krishna. That's why we're conditioned souls. That's why there's Hinduism. When Krishna spoke the Bhagavatam or revealed the knowledge, Tene Brahma Ya Hrida Ya Adi Kavye, at the beginning of the creation, he revealed the knowledge to Brahma. There was no Hinduism at that time. Lord Brahma didn't say, I'm the first Hindu. Later on, people may have said that. But Hinduism came because people, they interpreted in various ways, and now it's come down to the level of worshipping Sai Baba. And even just up the street, there's the Sri Vaishnava temple, and the people, mostly people from Sri Vaishnava families, they go there. And don't be surprised if you go to their home, that apart from having pictures of Venkateshwara and maybe Ranganatha Swami, they also have Sai Baba. Don't be surprised. Quite likely. Why? Because no one's explaining these things to them. That tradition is there, but the tradition is lost. Srila Prabhupada's books, they give us the knowledge that we need so that we can actually be benefited from Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gives extensive purports. And factually speaking, you won't get this from other Vaishnava Acharyas, even at the present time. There are various, in bona fide sampradayas, there are various preachers who are sustaining the sampradaya. But no one is going to tell you in pointedly, clearly, what is this impersonalism, how we have to avoid it, and put it in such clear terms that everyone can understand. How modern society is a royal edition of the animals. It's not a joke. Srila Prabhupada wrote that. He didn't say it as a joke. It's a fact. Why does he say that? Well, one thing, it's true, it's a fact. And we need to know that, because we're living in the modern society and everyone's talking about progress, development, how wonderful it is. And Srila Prabhupada tells us, no, it's a royal edition of the animals. This society will not raise us above the platform of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, because they don't have any higher goal of life than that. Therefore, we have to live our life minimally, minimally for the atato brahma jignyasa, jivasya jiva tattvas, minimally we have to, tattva jignyasa, jivasya tattva jignyasa, minimally we have to lead our life searching for the understanding of reality beyond eating meat, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And those who are fortunate to come to Krishna consciousness, they can take the message which Srila Prabhupada has given us profusely by writing so many books and speaking so many lectures. And he even before he had any followers, he had the prescience to get a tape recorder and record his lectures, so that we now can take advantage of that. That is meant for hearing, and chitete korea aikya, for making one with our heart. It's a very powerful message. And we have to be willing to take it. Don't water it down. And don't say that, well, Prabhupada said that, but he could say that and no one else could say it. He told us to say it. We have to say it. We have to speak it. Unless we regularly speak that lust, greed and anger are the gates leading to hell. Unless we regularly speak that impersonalism is the last snare of Maya. Unless we speak the science of the personality, the scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, how Ram's anger is not impure, it is purifying, because Rama is not a conditioned soul like us. He's not even a realized soul on the category of the jiva. He is the object of realization. He's not a representation of anything else. Everything else is a representation of him, generated from him. So unless we discuss these matters, then we will, first of all, we won't even get out of the misunderstandings. Unless we address the misunderstandings, we won't come out of them. And even if we, for instance, we do a Bhakti Shastri course, and we finish the course, and then, finished. But the Bhakti Shastri is supposed to go on throughout our life, day after day, by studying the teachings in Srila Prabhupada's books and applying them in our lives. I'll finish now as the time is time constraint. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this place? There's some Srimad Bhagavat selling rally going on next, is it? Yeah, so take Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't have it in your home, take it. How much is the Srimad Bhagavatam set? What's the price? 6,000 rupees. There's a discount. So what's the price with the discount? 6,000 rupees. Okay. What's the average earning of... I guess you're all middle class people here. Apart from the ones who just started. They give them next to nothing. What's the average earning of a 40-year-old person here? Not including Anukulya Keshav. He earns more. He earns more in a day than all of you earn in a month, probably. What is it? 50,000 rupees? 50,000, we can say, more or less? 48. Well, 50. Let's say 50. About 50,000 rupees. So, 6,000 rupees, one-time investment. Investment, what do I get back? What do you get back? You get back freedom from all worries about money. For one thing. That's only one small thing. Anarto pashamang sakshad bhakti yoga mad hok sajay lokasya janato vidvangs chakre satvata sangitam. All these anarthas, anxieties, miseries, attachments, there's a whole long list. We can get free from them by... You're blocking the view of everyone. We can get free from them by directly engaging in bhakti yoga to Krishna. People don't know this. Therefore, Vyasadeva, the most learned, he compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam. I just heard this morning, as I was listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada speaking, why is the Srimad Bhagavatam considered so important? Why do we give so much importance? There could be many answers to that. Any suggestions? Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. That's not the answer, Prabhupada. It's the Amala Purana. Yeah, that's true, but that's not the answer Prabhupada gave in the... There could be many answers. He said, Mahamuni Krite, because it is compiled by the most learned Vyasadeva. So,
Vidvans, Chakra Satvata Sanghita. Vyasadeva, who knows what is best for us? He has compiled his Bhagavata. So 6,000 rupees investment in your eternal future and that of your family and your children. The best thing you can do in your life is to study Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't have a set, then you're really... What are you doing coming here every Sunday? Really? If one time, if anyone hears this, the result that we should be so enlivened. I need to read this. I need to understand it. What are they doing? Chanting some shlokas? Yeah. That's popular in South India. But don't just chant shlokas. You have to know the meaning also. Otherwise, the popularizing the Bhagavad Gita chanting for so many years is this Chinmay mission, right, isn't it? They popularize that. But anyone who, they studied the shlokas, but they won't get the benefit because they don't take it from Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita as it is. One time, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he was very anxious, very eager to recite to Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita. I've learned all the verses. Prabhupada wasn't impressed. But anyway, that devotee was insistent. So he listened and he chanted one verse, one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. For an American devotee at that time, that was quite an achievement. And Prabhupada said, "So, do you know the meaning of the verses?" He said, "No, I just learned the verses. I don't know the translation." And Prabhupada said, "No." Then he wasn't very impressed. And that devotee went away from Prabhupada's shelter. Shortly after that, maybe he thought, "Oh, I learned Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada wasn't impressed." He went away. So know the meaning. And the meaning you'll get, how will you get the meaning? By reading the translation. Isn't that right? You have to read the purport. Then you'll get... Just from the translation, you won't understand. Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, who translated the... Who gave the verse translations? Prabhupada mostly didn't do. Who did it? Not exactly. Krishna does everything. It was his disciple, Hayagriva. And then how did Hayagriva do? He didn't know Sanskrit. Prabhupada said, "You take Dr. Radhakrishnan's Gita, and you take it from that and just adjust it a little." Dr. Radhakrishnan, that was the one edition of Bhagavad Gita which Prabhupada blasted again and again for his misinterpretation of the Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta verse in chapter 9. Then why did he say? Because Prabhupada said more or less the translations are all the same. It's the purport that's important. So take this Bhagavatam. Otherwise you become... Apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu grihamedinam. This is what Shukdev said to Parikshit when he first met him. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're going to get bitten by a snake bird." He said that, "Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavayaha. Divachathehaye rajan kutumba baranenava." Materialistic people, they spend their nights in sleep and sex and their days working hard to maintain their families. And what is their position? They do not see atma tattva. They do not see knowledge of reality because they're simply stuck in materialistic family life. So that's our position. That's what he said to Parikshit. Parikshit had already left home with the intention of attaining the highest goal of life, but still, that's what Shukdev said to him, to fix him up in his determination to understand the highest knowledge. So the same benefit that Parikshit got from hearing from Shukdev, you can get by taking Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam set. So please do so. Hare Krishna. Yeah, you should distribute Prabhupada's books. But I have an objection to this December marathon. What? How can I have any objection? Because book distribution is not meant only for December. It's supposed to be more. But what it's come to, I see in many devotees' minds, December is the month when we distribute books. And the rest of the year, we don't. It's supposed to go on throughout the year and then do more during December. So it should go on all through the year and more in December. But anyway, if you don't do it at any other time, do it in December. But if you're really getting... How are you going to distribute books? You have to get the mercy, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna's mercy. But if you're actually getting the mercy, then you get a taste, and then you want to go on doing it. So the real sign of getting the mercy is that you don't stop in January. You keep on going throughout the year. So Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.